Hopkins and Helen Mirren. And closing night's feature is Steven Spielberg's Lincoln, starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Celebrating the films of guest artistic director Bernardo Bertolucci, other highlights include On the Road, Ken Burns' Central Park 5, White Elephant, and more. Further information, along with a full roster and schedule of films, is available at kpfk.org. KPFK is a proud media sponsor, and KPFK Film Club members can call the front desk for a pair of tickets to a selected screening. And if you aren't already a Film Club member, please consider joining at kpfk.org.
This is Mumia Abu-Jamal from Imprisoned Nation. You're listening to listener-sponsored KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. KPFK, powered by the people.
On Thursday, November 15th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Kavar Restaurant in Los Angeles, Hunger Action LA will celebrate 15 local champions against hunger and poverty at their annual awards and dinner. Proceeds will support Hunger Action LA programs, including the People's Guide to Welfare, Health, and Other Services, and Market Match, which provides extra food for low-income participants at 12 farmer markets in LA County. That's Hunger Action LA's annual awards and dinner on Thursday, November 15th, from 6 to 9 p.m. Details and ticket information available at 213-388-8228 and at kpfk.org. KPFK is a proud media sponsor.
Thanks to the generous financial support of listeners like you, KPFK is able to media sponsor performances and community events like this one for all to enjoy. If you're not a member already, you can become one now. Log on to kpfk.org and click on Pledge Support. Thank you.
Well, this is not exactly something's happening. We are kind of having a continuation of our election coverage, so I don't want you to think that we've turned it off in order to turn on the new show, which we will be presenting all sorts of things, including Brad of Brad Blog is going to be on with comments on the election, and Caroline Casey is going to be on live, and We have some people in studio too. Let me see. There's a woman in black. And
hi, Roy.
Hi.
How are you?
And who are you?
Summer Reese.
Summer Reese. Okay. And we also have your name was Christine, right?
Yes, Roy.
You're not going to be selling anything.
No, I'm not asking for any money.
You're not going to ask for money?
I'm not asking for a dime.
Okay.
We're just here for election coverage.
And we want to cover what's not being covered.
Definitely.
And as well as maybe covering some stuff that's being covered. And we have first what I think if Barack Obama had lost the election, the man who would be most in demand in the whole country for commentary and clarification and problem solving, and that is Brad Friedman,
my hero.
Your hero. He has a radio program on KPOK, one of the more important ones on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Brad.
Yes, sir. Roy, how are you, sir?
Well, mixed bag.
Well, you know, that's a funny way that you put it. Had he lost, I would have been the most in-demand guy in the country. Boy, am I glad he didn't lose in that case.
Well, okay. Now, I can see people say, he's just lazy, that's all. I can see people thinking, well, you know, Barack Obama won, so all this stuff about messing with voting machines and who counts the votes is more important than who votes, and all the supposed dirty tricks and messy business electronically that's been going on is all a figment of your imagination. And it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is a conspiracy theory that you have been nursing all these years.
Yes. Well, now you're starting to sound like the progressive blogosphere out there. They've been
the progressive blogosphere.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they've been targeting me as a conspiracy theorist for the last several weeks. A couple of things. One, you may have noticed there were other elections tonight other than the presidential race that also matter. You may have noticed that at least as of an hour ago, and I haven't gotten a check within the last hour, but they were still voting in Miami-Dade. So shameful, frankly, is our electoral process right now. And I'm sure that you guys saw the lines, over the weekend in Florida, in Ohio.
9 hours waiting.
Insane. Insane, shameful, embarrassing. And I got to say, Obama's victory speech tonight, one of the first lines, he said, "I want to thank every American who participated in this election, whether you voted for the first time or waited in line for a very long time. By the way, we have to fix that," he said.
Well, that's a matter of...
Yes, please, Mr. President. That would be nice. It would be nice if we had fixed it long ago. It'd be nice if his administration, his Department of Justice, had been a hell of a lot more aggressive than they were. But in any case, we have a lot to unravel, I suspect, in the next couple of days. As I always tell folks on these nights, you know, we don't find the real problems and the real concerns with election integrity issues until the days and weeks and sometimes months after the election. We've got a bunch of close races out there. We've got three Senate races that are still not called. Florida, for that matter, has still not been called, the entire state of Florida. And we've got some very interesting races. Michelle Bachmann up in Minnesota, who leads by about 2,000 votes at this hour. She could go down tonight. Have already seen Alan West be defeated down in Florida, and Alan Grayson winning in Florida. So a very interesting night, but a lot of ballot initiatives that are still up for grabs, that are still going to, we're still going to have a lot of questions about them. So there will be much to unravel, I suspect, in the days ahead, and we still have no legitimate explanation for why the Secretary of State of Ohio put a mystery uncertified software onto the vote tabulators in 39 counties in Ohio. And we're going to be talking about that, of course, tomorrow on the show with the guy who discovered that was the case and who was in court today, both state court and federal court, suing to get that software the hell out of the machines because nobody knows what it's for.
That's 3 p.m. on KPFK Los Angeles.
Indeed.
Pacific time.
Pacific time, correct.
Oh, okay. Well, you probably saw the what's been running around on YouTube, the viral picture, video of the voting machine that lights up Romney when you press Barack Obama.
Gee, that's never happened before.
Yes, but it's never been filmed and put on YouTube and gone viral.
Well, and hello, Christine and Summer. Good to
hi, Brad.
Hello, Brad.
Glad you're in the house.
Yes.
That video went viral, but we have seen that before. We've seen that in election after election. I've had videos on my website of
Bev Harris.
Touchscreen votes flipping before our very eyes for years. But if you go back to 2004, you'll recall that when this was reported all over the country, Republicans said that Democrats were sore losers and conspiracy theorists for claiming that their vote was flipping from one person to another, from the from John Kerry to George Bush back then. And this week, you had the GOP sending a letter to six different states. Top elections officials complaining that they were getting complaints from their voters that the vote was on touchscreen voting machines, that things were jumping from Mitt Romney to Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's something else we can have finally worked out after this election. Maybe the Republicans will finally get on board and help change this insane electoral system, because I think it's going to take Republicans to get anything changed, because Lord knows the Democrats don't seem to be interested in stepping up to do it.
Well, that's the Tom Hartman has the fix for all that, and that's to leak to the Republicans that the Democrats have figured out a way to flip the voting machines. And then the Republicans would hop to it and fix the the unfixable. Maybe help us go back to paper.
But the Republicans own all the proprietary software, so I'm not sure how that would work out.
Well, they had actually, they have been aggressive in the past. I think it was back in, I want to say 08, when there was reports of votes flipping from the Republican to the Democrat in Pennsylvania, if my memory serves. You know, they had written a letter to the Secretary of the Commonwealth out there and said those machines need to be taken, quarantined, taken out of service until we can examine them. They were aggressive about it. When they get screwed by this system, they actually, raise holy hell and try to do something about it. When the Democrats get screwed by the system, the Republicans call them all sorts of names and, sore losers and conspiracy theorists and everything else. So that's why I say it's really going to take Republicans getting their ox gored, and pun intended, before the system really changes, I'm afraid.
Well, we should follow the Irish example, where they have sold their machines for scrap metal.
Yes,
and gone
please.
Back to PEP. And Irish, we should follow the Irish. They have more than luck. They have some knowledge and ability here in cleaning up elections.
Well, they've been fighting imperialism for so many centuries, they know about these things.
Christine could make a lot of money with the KPFK fundraiser selling off all of those crappy machines.
Great. Something else to hawk.
Use them as doorstops.
I'm just glad to be on air with all of you without having to put that phone number out. I so appreciate it. It's so rare. And I have to come at 12 o'clock at night to do this?
It's the only time they let us on the air, Christine.
Okay.
I thought you were going to put out the number and then we could, take callers or something.
I'm hoping that we might be able to.
That's different.
That's up to Mr. Hollywood.
Well, first, though, we want to get a report from Caroline Casey, who I said would come on around 12:15, and then I can leave you on, and then we'll hear from Caroline with a cosmic report on the election, a cosmic view.
Love it.
And then we'll see what kind of time we have left.
Right before Mercury goes retrograde tomorrow. See, she's going to have all kinds of stuff
This is the actual true Halloween, right now, today. The true Halloween is going on, and there's all sorts of symbolism which relates to the election. So can you hang on, Brad, and we will talk with Caroline? Because she has 28,000 fans listening in, waiting for her to come on.
Absolutely.
And so we can find out what really happened. So we'll be back with Brad Friedman.
That's like you, Mr. Hollywood.
And Caroline Casey in just a moment. KPFK Los Angeles. Description of what's been going on, we have on the air live Caroline Casey, your visionary activist. Caroline?
Hey there, teammates. Hey there, Summer. And Roy and known and unknown teammates and everybody
Christine.
Out there. Coyote Network News, Mythological News Report. So, yes, we love critique. And then also let's do the mythic news, too, which is the heartening thing. Yes, all that they say, the voting machines, the voter suppression, but look at what couldn't be bought, really, in a sense. I think Rachel Maddow, in a sense, just got it back. We were looking at many of the superstitious and authentically divinatory were looking at the Mercury retrograde tonight going, resonance of 2000, and it could have been. But I think our team, all of us, were going, how would we like to what do we want redone? We are not superstitious. We animate this. And in the realm, the best part was, you know, Obama regave his speech of 2004. And we redid 2000, which is in spite of all the dirty tricks and the voter thing and the whatever. And I the thing that you mentioned, Rory, that went viral or spiral about the voting machine being voted for Obama and showing Romney, a lot of people on Facebook called the Civil Rights Division of the FBI, and they were on it. I mean, they took it really seriously. I think our team, you know, I think this is heartening. We don't need to suck the chi out of how heartening it is. 19, maybe 21 women senators were going to go on Amazon and look at the, you know, what was voted down, and we go, that's pretty interesting. So, you know, Rachel Maddow was saying that Obama going back to the 2004 themes, but the larger transformational ideals of what do we all want, you know, updating the dream in the face of, you know, realism and cynicism, but exactly what we all want. So I think there's a lot to be heartened about, that the ridiculous small nightmare before us of the cartoon, you know, animation of, you know, sociopathic corporate theocracy, plutocracy, you know, Romney, was we dispelled that. We go, no, that's too horrible, back into the void. And Romney himself actually looked kind of relieved, going, man, it's a tough gig being the cartoon animation of sociopathic theocratic plutocracy. And I'm putting it aside. It's a tough gig in the mystery play. And he did look relieved. And Obama looked relieved.
And that's how we felt, too.
We're all relieved. I mean, we are. Because now we can get on to the big nightmares.
Right.
You know, it's like, let's get on to the big nightmares, which are before us, but which in which the storm, and this is so astrologically perfect, you know, the name Sandy is derived from Cassandra. You know, the mythic being who was cursed because she refuted Apollo. She refuted the climate deniers, the kind of American cartoon of Apollo, and was cursed to never be believed. And so we had Storm Cassandra storming up there going, you bleep and believe me now?
Yeah.
And in the face of looking into plutonic devastation, you could see that, like, in the mystery play, Chris Christie, he'd seen something. And, you know, when you look into devastation, all the kind of dross of blustery personality just burned away. And he was like, politics, who cares? Now, his demons may come back, you know, but this moment and, you know, some great beings like Cory Booker on Twitter. I don't know if you guys have been following that, but it's like there's some great teammates. And so on the mythic level of things, I think there's a lot that we want to critique, yes, but we don't want to be stuck in our bespelling ourselves with like, we go, yes, magic mirror, critique, this is what is before us. Thank God we dispelled the horrible thing. Now we can get on to the big horrible thing. And then as teammates, you know, and a creative network of dynamic listeners and cultural alchemists and, you know, wizards, you know, it's in keeping with, you know, in England before World War II, the British government was like, we are rationalists, but we're calling on the wizards and the pagans to, you know, put a zone of power up to defend us from the Nazis. And that goes back to their occult tradition of actually Dr. John Dee in Queen Elizabeth's court being called upon to stir up the winds to protect Britain from the Spanish Armada. So in that sense, I think that there was a lot of dynamic, you know, mythologically hip, politically dedicated teammates going, we're not frightened of astro patterns. We cooperate with them. What do we want And may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, an occasion for mirth. And in the face of all the crookedness and, you know, mean-spiritedness and treasonous voter suppression, it was kind of miraculous that, you know, that relative truth came through. So, and more along those lines. But do we not feel heartened at women, gays, marijuana? What we do?
We feel heartened. We feel heartened by several things.
Yeah.
You know, we got a bunch of progressive Democrats who were elected. Yes, there was a collective sigh of relief because it could have just been so much worse.
First openly gay lesbian senator elected as well.
Yeah.
And the voters of California see human trafficking as being bad, which is
and what happened.
Good.
We didn't hear on the East Coast about Prop 37.
Oh, that's a painful moment in the room. Everyone who wanted to live. You know, that whole, like, whether we should live or die or have our, you know, genes messed with. That went down in flames due to Monsanto's
$30 million.
Well, yeah, most of the people involved in that, I mean, I was going to have them on the Visionary Activist show on KPFA, whatever my station is.
But our other station?
They were all looking gloomy, Prop 37 sane people, because they were like, have us on after the election, because we just got flooded by Superstorm Monsanto with money.
And how evil does that tell you it must be that they have to dump that many millions on it to keep poisoning us, you know? So
that is a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you have to work this hard to poison us, it must be some pretty bad stuff.
Well, as Brother Leonard Cohen says, you know, from deeper and darker places in the heart, we rise to play a greater part, going inch by inch. You know, the complete cataclysm of the world is not sealed. There's a sporting chance, and tricksters like sporting chance. So, yeah, you know, yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a sin. So, yeah, so, and what about Prop 34, team?
Oh, yes, 34.
Human trafficking, yes.
No, abolition of death penalty.
No, abolition of death penalty did not. No, well, it's...
No.
No, it's not. It's, you know, the one that's good on that front is the three strikes law. The public has seen the wisdom of peeling that back a bit. But the death penalty, no, people still... You know, the bloodlust in this country has not been abated, I'm afraid to say. And,
I think everybody in favor for the death penalty should report to San Quentin and get it.
Yeah, report to the camp immediately.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, you know, the human compassion there is not necessarily in full swing on that one either.
But let's grab the mojo of now.
Good.
Team and part of this, you know, our whole forever, you know, which is, all right, let's set the desirable template. You know, I mean, again... You know, assume cultural narrative lead going, all right, by 2016 or sooner, abolition of death penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
Prop 37, single-payer health care, abolition of, you know, composting of drones. You know, I mean, let's this thing.
Destruction,
you know, the only
of
drones being allowed to be used by the Sea Shepherd in the South Seas, in which the fabulously, correctly insane, you know, captain is using, they have a drone that sights the Japanese whaling fleet, and it saves them, you know, $1 gazillion. That's okay. But yeah, no, really, I mean, kind of ardency, because the better part of Americans that was spoken to, again, just by, you know, a million, but, you know, the better story, the better appeal, not the hatred, ugly, ravaging, whatever, the better story, and then it's our task to continue to animate that and its, you know, inclusivity. And political Republican commentators, you know, there was some sanity. I mean, Steve Schmidt said, our party just has to repudiate hatred. It's going to be going to be tough, but we just got
to
do
that. They're going to have to work on that, huh?
Well,
yeah.
but there's, you know, as you know, I've been your agent in D.C. crossing lines, talking to conservatives and going, whoa, you know, poisonous. But also common conversation, as is the history of Pacifica.
Yeah.
Talking with the deep conservatives, they're very much about no empire and very much about, you know, that there's the toxic part of Grover Norquist, and then there's the part of Grover Norquist that wants to take down the military-industrial complex due to waste. And so we like complexity, going, no, drop that, Grover, over. You know, government, you know, couldn't be drowned. Well, anyway, never mind that metaphor. But drop that over here, just this, again, the trickster, dedicated, against all odds, serious, whimsy part of us, you know, rises to... spiral going, not that, but this, and pretty much the unified quality of cataclysm. I mean, all of the, you know, the mayor of New York and the governor of New York were speaking astrology without needing to, as none of us need to, but when they said we have to rebuild infrastructure with ingenuity, we know that the meta story is collapsing empire, dominance, infrastructure, banking, corruption going down, and then what we're animating is culture of reverent ingenuity, nature-led, rising up out of rubble, you know, and so there's room, you know. Talking to people going, oh, there's no difference, and there you go, millions of lives, and not just human lives, live in that you know, in that, you know, crevice where you might not see difference. And we go, we got a chance, you know, there's a sporting, you know, up kind of quality to the thing. And yeah, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I think women really showed, you know, through in this election.
Our
yeah.
presidential candidate for 2016.
Yeah, go Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Warren, yes, and Michelle Obama would be a smoking ticket. Elizabeth Warren, Alan Grayson, Sherrod Brown, Claire McCaskill,
yes.
All the rape guys went down.
Yes,
all the rape
exactly.
Guys went down.
See, that's it. I think women really, I mean, it was so offensive.
Women do have magic.
Yes, see? See, they summoned us to our full strength because it was sort of shocking, like one after another, and it was really very excellent to see that they all got knocked down.
And, yeah, Todd Akin, we go, it was God's will, Todd. and Tim Kaine. Kane beats George Allen Dingbat in Virginia. You know, a vaginal ultrasound goes down. And I don't know if you guys or guys have seen, there was a woman running for Congress in Florida who had an ad in which she showed the transvaginal ultrasound probe. And, you know, we might think, oh, it's some sleek pencil kind of laser thing.
Oh, no.
It's a huge dildo. It's a huge plastic dildo. Yeah, anyway, so that went down. You know, Elizabeth Warren is great. Claire McCaskill, amazing. Tammy Duckworth beats Joe Walsh with tons of outside money, tons of, like, the worst aspects of the kind of creepy, creepy money, and they couldn't buy it. You know, the Koch brothers, they were like, I mean, that's why the Romney campaign was so in disarray. You know, because they didn't know what to do because Romney had only prepared an acceptance speech.
That's hilarious, the arrogance, the sheer arrogance of that.
Don't forget,
delusions, yes, delusions of adequacy.
Caroline, don't forget also, too, the radical lesbian Tammy Baldwin up against, I mean, just this week, the Washington Times, there was a columnist who wrote saying that if she was elected to Senate, her lesbian lifestyle would increase child abuse, higher rates of drug addiction and alcoholism, soaring violence,
oh my God.
And rampant teenage promiscuity.
Oh, my God, like with her madness.
Yeah, just the most toxic. I mean,
right?
The worst of humans was appealed to, the hater, the mob, the creepy thing, and, you know.
But people didn't buy it. That's the thing. I think that I really do think that we have so much more in common. It's these wedge issues that they throw out, abortion, same-sex marriage, the fear card. They're trying to scare people, and I think that a lot of people are waking up.
Well, they also try to use all
these... every spirally side. I mean, I've made sort of friends with this, you know, quite a thoughtful Tea Party guy in D.C., who at CPAC, which was roiling toxic scariness, but he said, you know, let us, you know, there's crazy, horrible ugliness outside. They did a great kind of panel. But let us put aside the divisive social issues and find a guiding story that 70% of the Americans, you know, of all of us could get behind because we got stuff to do. And we go, we can speak.
Yeah.
We can talk because, on every side, it's like, you know, when things are so saturated with lies, and I did like saying, let liability become a liability, and it did. It did. And even, you know, on whatever we dissolve the sides, and that's the start for dissolving states and dissolving the infantile concept of nation states someday. You know, we're going there slowly. But there's a lot of, you know, sane, reverent stirrings in people's, you know, hearts, souls, minds that can be now engaged. You know, that hatred did not work. It did not triumph, and it was scary. You know, it was scary because there were, you know, as you say, unspeakable. I did go to CPAC, and part of I found some people to converse with, but I wanted to come back to report to our team who were like, I don't know if I'm going to vote. You know, and it's like, you have no idea about the Mordor that is there. Like, and it's like, I don't know if I'll vote. And it's like, it's like, you have no idea. And it was ferocious, but people stood in lines.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
For 6 hours in
Freezing.
Obama's
9 hours.
Why? See, my question is, in my entire life, even as a child, going with my mother, Geneva, who's in the studio here to vote, I've never
I love you. Geneva, hey.
She's woof-woofing right back at you. And we've never stood in a line, ever, in my entire life, except tonight, like, the two-minute line.
You grew up in Southern California.
California and Arizona. I mean, both states, I've never seen a line at any election, and I voted in every election.
They're not trying to suppress your vote, darling.
Isn't that amazing? I wonder what's going on in these
states.
Because
they know how you're going to vote on the left leaning. It's those other states.
It's those other states.
Those pesky, you know.
Yeah, frisky mid states that they have to steal the votes from. But
Florida.
I mean, it's just amazing that, seven-hour lines. What are you people doing wrong? Open some polling places already. How complicated is this? I can't believe it keeps happening.
This is KPFK.
Well, of course it's on purpose, but it's so ludicrous. Like, they act like it's a mystery. There's a seven-hour line. No. Obviously, this is a design, a purpose. Stop
right.
it. The Justice Department should jump in on these things and simply demand that they have sufficient polling places.
Well, I want to give, you know.
I want to give an ID and say, this is KPFK Los Angeles.
No.
We are on the air with Summer Reese, and who's Interim Executive Director of Pacifica, and ace reporter Christina Blasdale, or senior producer, semi-senior producer, and Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, who, are you there, Brad?
I am still here.
Okay,
hey,
and Caroline Casey, our visionary activist, speaking to us from the Eastern Seaboard. Hi, Brad. You've been...
Hi, Roy.
Do you have anything to add to all this...
jolly? Do you have something jolly to add?
The cosmic stew.
I was enjoying it. It's probably the first 15 minutes I haven't had to talk myself today, so I've been rather enjoying listening. But a couple of other races that I think we should be pretty happy about up in Minnesota. I don't know if it's yet finalized.
Michelle is going down.
The ban on same-sex marriage seems to have failed. That was amendment number one, and amendment number two, which would have required polling place photo ID restrictions up in Minnesota, also went down.
Good. Wow. That's very good
There's
news.
There's hope.
That's very good news, especially when it's a ban on same-sex marriage. To have that go down in Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Both of those things... I don't think that marriage equality, I'm sorry, it's late. Equality, I don't think, has ever won on the ballot at all until tonight. And, you know, for years everybody's been saying, well, photo ID just makes sense. It leads in all the polls. Everybody understands it's, you know, we have to restrict the polling places with these crazy draconian photo ID laws.
We had to stop voter fraud.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Stop non-existent voter fraud.
Non-existent. Yeah, it's such a scam.
Except Romney apparently was guilty of voter fraud.
Well, that's because he owns machines.
And
that's how they do it.
Ann Coulter also. Ann Coulter.
Actual voter fraud.
Yes.
Yes.
Registered in the wrong
Where he's living, right.
Yeah. We should clarify, too, that the...
Ann Coulter gives her... publicity director's address as her home address.
See, so they're
That's
all doing
voter fraud.
It. But it doesn't count because they're special.
And Brad, is were there other states other than Maine and Maryland that approved gay marriage, same-sex marriage?
I don't know. I haven't been able to go through everything yet. Actually, I didn't even know that it was approved in Maryland as well.
Yes. My state.
Well, it was not. By the way, it was not approved. As I read the amendment in Minnesota, it was a ban that would have placed a ban on it.
No, in Maryland, it was like yes.
In Maryland, it was an actual yes.
It is legal.
Yes, and Maine.
Actually, yes.
Another reason to go there instead of the seafood.
So you could go to Maryland and Maine.
Course.
They both have seafood.
honeymoon in Washington and Colorado.
Yes.
And we should point out, of course, that in locations where they approve same-sex marriage, it's not mandatory. So, you know, if anybody is against it for that reason, you know, they
don't need to
worry.
Right.
Isn't there going to be a ban on opposite-sex marriage coming up?
Well, you know that's what the homosexual agenda is all about.
Exactly.
So, of course.
They're going to save us from ourselves.
Of course.
Yeah,
they're going
and,
to recruit
and,
us all.
If, curiously, you know, Oregon voted down legalizing marijuana, and the only thing I can think about that is it must have been the growers.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of my Facebook pals was posting about that. It's the same thing when the marijuana legalization measure was on the ballot here a couple of years ago, is that as soon as you do that, Monsanto will get its ugly, dirty paws into that one, too, and suddenly we'll have GMO pot. I mean, can you imagine that? And that the legalization is often just another tool of oppression. So I think some of these things, like all of these measures, the devil is in the details. I mean, even the one on human trafficking, it's going to now categorize sex workers as sex offenders who will have to register. So all of these things have to be read very carefully to see what they're really doing. And marijuana legalization is frequently, I mean, I think one of the biggest fears, quite frankly, on the part of a lot of people is with what's going on with genetically modified organisms, that it'll pop over into that next because it's a plant, you know, and that's a scary world we're living in.
I can't believe that didn't pass. Even China, okay?
China, totally.
Who sends us lead-filled toys,
right,
has banned dog GMOs.
Food.
Well,
okay.
See, they just want to. They just cannot stop dumping this stuff on us.
No, it's those commercials. The Monsanto and
totally.
Dow
DuPont. Yeah.
Those commercials were so. I mean, they had a scientist,
like a barrage.
They had all these different people. It was very convincing.
It was a barrage against the public. Yeah, and that shows how much they're fighting, because the moment the public knows what they are eating, they will not eat this garbage, you know, and it's that simple. So it just means we have to do more voter education. People have to become more informed about what's going on with their health.
Brad, how much money was it, how much money was put into defeating that?
30 million.
Into defeating 37?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even sure.
I got it. I have it.
Million.
It's 30 million.
30 million. Okay.
I thought it was 50 million.
Something. Yeah.
And I think the folks who were on the opposing side were, it was 8 million they had or something.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you just can't compete with major multinationals that are determined to, you know, dump their chemicals on your dinner plate.
There's a wedge in right now, which is the creepiest. I mean, there's creepy money everywhere, but the creepiest money of Americans for traditions, you know, in Montana and other states, they lost. They with every all the creepy outside money. Sherrod Brown, you know, again, you know, Alan Gray, you know, yes, Tammy Duckworth, all of those had huge amounts of the most evil Dementor money. And they, you know, just. They
rejected,
you know,
that.
The Koch brothers did not buy it.
That's good.
And I think that's why the Romney camp was in such disarray. They were delusional, which means de ludo, out of the game. And I love the scene because, you know, when they were contesting Ohio for a moment, we go, and Paul Ryan actually drove in his motorcade to the, you know, assembled gathering and got out for a second, then got back in his car and drove away. I mean, they didn't know what they were doing. And then, Romney came out, but you could see they're like, but we bought this, you know, Karl Rove and the Koch brothers, we bought this. How could we, what? So there was a dissonance. They couldn't believe that they hadn't been able to buy it.
It was
extraordinary. And so with Prop 37, with the essential thing of, yes, you know, to have a democracy, you need information. This is important. Going, all right, no, but we know now that big money need not rule, that against all odds, actual, sane, reverent, common sense can prevail, and we just get stronger behind that.
And in fact, same-sex marriage equality was in fact approved, or at least close to. It looks like it's going to pass up in the state of Washington as well.
Uh-huh.
So some huge nights for
everywhere, but good old liberal California.
Yeah, right. And we can't even repeal the death penalty in the good old liberal California.
We have San Francisco and West Hollywood. What is wrong with that picture?
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. And by the way, these are some of the things that we look at in the days after the election. You know, we found all sorts of anomalies around the Prop 8 election. And those were reported to the Secretary of State.
Prop 8 was?
Prop 8 was the un-same-sex marriage amendment, wasn't it?
Right, the outlawing same-sex?
Outlawing, the rights that were already granted by the California Supreme Court that took them away. And there was all kinds of questions about whether it passed or not. There was all sorts of anomalies in that election. And again, you know, this is one of these things, because we don't have a transparent election system, we just sort of accept whatever it is that is told to us by these computers and by the media. And, you know, the citizenry can never really know if these things actually passed or not. And when we had all sorts of anomalies, brought them to the Secretary of State, she didn't want to look at them either. So, you know, we'll see in the days ahead what passed and what didn't, what problems actually exist. And I think we ought to start paying closer attention to that rather than simply following the horse race and, you know, and waiting for Chuck Todd to come on to NBC and tell us who won and who lost.
Yes. No, we can send Chuck Todd. I love in ancient mythology when Hercules or Hyper Yang, you know, Death Frenzy, was laying waste to the world, the gods got together and sentenced him to go to the underworld and learn knitting and weaving. So I think, let's see Karl Rove and the Koch brothers learning knitting and weaving in the underworld, and Chuck Todd could go for a refresher, you know, just for the fun of it. So, and the composting, you know, let's just call for things, the composting of all sports metaphors in regard to politics going on, just into the underworld cauldron as well, going, yeah, not so much who's going to win. But, I think there's a lot. Cory Booker was saying that you know, we want to honor the Ledbetter Act. We want to honor four states affirming the marriage equality. I guess we're just repeating, but Tammy Baldwin, first openly gay senator, we go, you know, it's a good tide. It looked in doubt, but great Donella Meadows, who was a great environmental economist, in 1999 wrote this really good essay, and she said, correlating economic and political cycles, and she said in 2000, she wrote in 99, we're going to head into an extreme right-wing economic tightening time until 2012, and she wasn't doing any Mayan thing, she was just doing her own thing, and she said at that point, you know, that's when culturally, again, we are all leaders, you know, culturally there would be a shift of, you know, sort of leaning into sane reverence and progressivism and a tide of, you know, sort of a renaissance potential. And so I was looking at this going, oh, no, we got to, you know, how do we surf in on this thing? And her assignment to us, because then she died of good works and exhaustion, but she bequeathed to us, and it is true Halloween, where the spirits are strong today, she bequeathed to us and said, so, team, whom I will not be with, you know, you have to get the culture of collaborating with nature and reverent ingenuity and ingenuity moving into the marketplace, you know, in place, you know, before and then really starting in 2012. And in 2012, it's up to all human culture to be the leader and to understand, she didn't say this, but I think we understand, you know, Obama is the sail, we're the wind, and when 51% of the American populace approved of gay marriage, he gave voice to it. When 51% are against drones, he'll do that.
Well, I think we've shown some, I mean, all these progressive candidates that were either elected or reelected, I mean, there seems to have been a real push in the in that direction with tonight's results.
It's about information and knowledge, too. When you talk about a drone, people think about it's a character in Star Wars, you know?
Totally.
Okay? They don't realize that these missiles are hellfire missiles, which actually suck the breath out of every living thing. It's a horrible, torturous way to die. And I think when you just talk about a drone, like it's a video game, people think, and then you talk about the evil terrorists in other countries, right? It's the framing of it. And I think enough people, why some of the same-sex marriage bills have passed is because enough people have gotten to know gay sons, you know, lesbian daughters, their, you know, their uncle, their aunt, their neighbor, and they're like, wow, this person.
Somebody on the media,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, people coming out, you know, news anchors coming out and all that good stuff, but they see them, it's not this evil threat or something that's going to destroy their lives. So I think that's how we change the dialogue and how we change the drones and all those other things is we actually give it a human face, and so people aren't afraid of, you know, people in other countries, because that's what's happening right now.
Plus, I think some of what we're seeing is the economy is in such shreds, and these people are scary. Some of the candidates that have been running, they, you know, they've been running the morality politics again, and it didn't fly as well in this.
People are hungry.
Election.
They don't care
exactly.
About who you're sleeping
totally.
With.
Totally. I mean, and you see your personal rights attack, but they weren't able to make that sell by attacking women as hard as they tried in this particular election. People care about real bread and butter issues, and then you have that natural disaster, which only underscores that
exactly.
Some people are going to help you bail water and get you food, and other people are going to privatize that and say, how much money do you have before we help? So I think that a lot of those factors came in to play in this in the results that we're seeing tonight.
Caroline, you were going to say something.
Well, I also wanted to go back to drones, because that is a crucial moral global issue and resides in this country and resides in Nevada. But what's starting to come out there, and this is again where we enlarged our task to enlarge the conversation as part of it, is that there's a whole lot of press going on now too about the video game operators of the drones, the remote killing guys who are based in Nevada, you know, they're falling apart. They're, you know, because it is killing their, whatever we're going to call it, souls. So there, you know, and there is, you know, again, all these tidy phrases that don't serve it, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's like, well, there are consequences of doing horrible things. And they're going back to their family. And so the same kind of thing. So it again behooves us to go, this is bad for everyone. You know, this is bad for the big important Afghani-Pakistan case today, too, about, you know, his grandmother killed by drones. And, I mean, so coming up into world court, you know, and we've hung in to the global community this way. If the small nightmare of Romney, people have gone, so there is a conversation that can begin to happen about let's all agree. And again, it's part of our task to insist on that. That remote killing of any kind, you know, all war, failure of imagination, you know, and so this is the story that we all want to, of sane reverence, that we want to make irresistible and invite everyone to. So it is intriguing. The shift of the population has, you know, shifted largely also in Florida, that the old guard, you know, right-wing Cuban population has been supplanted by the Puerto Rican population in the middle of the state, which is like, what? And, you know, 75% of the Latino community voted for Obama in Florida. Orlando is now overwhelmingly Puerto Rican. So it's in flux. You know, soon there will not be a white majority in this country, which is a splendid thing.
That's now, practically now.
Yeah, yeah. So underneath this theater, there's the real theater that we're all a part of, which is to face the real nightmare of, you know, healing humans' relationship to the earth, and it's all part of dominance, empire, whose roots go way back. But this was the rise of the Dementors and really the Confederate army combined with the Inquisition that was making its last kind of, and we're, you know, it's like, no, now we get back to the challenging, important, and moral work at hand, but at least there's a chance, and to prevent the XL pipeline even more, there's a chance, and we just need a chance. The trickster within us just needs a chance. But, yeah, no, I think it's great for all of us increasingly and forever to put on the work table the critique, and then here's what we're going to do, and here's what we can do, and let's see this thing. But, yes, I'm cracking open. I'm going wild and cracking open the ginger kombucha, going, yeah. toast of ginger kombucha to everybody. Yeah, and I think it's okay to celebrate. What is not turning in one's progressive credentials?
No, not at all. I mean, we have Barbara Lee reelected. We've got Keith Ellison reelected. I mean, we have a lot of good people who've either newly come into office or come back into office. You know, Colorado
did legalize marijuana today. You know, these are mixed bags.
In Washington, right?
And well, I didn't read the one on Washington, but I was just looking at Colorado, and it's actually like for recreational use, cultivation of hemp for industrial purposes. And
wow.
Not to say there might not be something.
Wait.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Colorado, 64. Hemp? Yes, it says it directs the legislature to put together a framework for industrial hemp cultivation, which we all know could help save the environment and, produces really high quality products.
And we can talk to right wingers on that one because Henry Ford was all for that.
He sure was. Well, you know, we can talk to right wingers about a lot of stuff. The left has to. One has to be more open-minded to discuss real issues and not get caught up in the ideology.
I'd like to hear that also, even on this network as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean,
I'm working on actually having some actual live conservatives on the show, but I have to do more homework.
I like them. You know, they're interesting. Live conservatives.
Again, in our task of spiraling forth, yes, critiquing, but willing to engage in a unifying story, it's available.
Yes.
It's available. And I think that, popular opinion, sometimes, with testament to Ambien, that Romney could even get a vote, but it's like loose metal filings drawn to a coherent narrative of how one is being bamboozled and hoodwinked. And so it went to the kind of Rush Limbaugh toxicity, although he was completely insane. And what it says is that's the toxic mimic of the desirable thing, which is, yes, we can animate a story of how we have been bamboozled and hoodwinked, until now, and this is how that works, and here's also what we can do together. And if there's a coherent narrative with, spice and flair and inclusivity, that's where we're going.
Right? So it's more encouraging than it could have been. That's for darn sure. There was a breath-holding moment earlier today when one did not know what was going to happen next.
And it was so sudden. It was like, oh my God, 11:13.
I know.
People in Chicago were surprised. Like, what?
The baby's here already?
Yeah, it's like, it was 11 p.m. in 2008, and that was like, oh my God, and this was like, oh no, it's going to go on for weeks, or oh my God, the provisional ballots in Ohio aren't going to be counted for 10 days, which is true, but it didn't matter. The Obama team, and I'm in on that thing. They knew that the vote finagling could only work within like kind of 1%. And that's why I had Faust write a letter to Romney going, Romney, I knew Faust and you're no Faust. You are such a doofus that we can't use our evil bag of tricks. We'll have to save them until 2016. Because you're such a doofus, nobody would believe it. And then, it was looking scary even for a moment going on, but no.
No.
Well, there was a moment tonight when, and it was almost the exact same time, I think, that it happened in 2004 when everybody had called it for Obama, but Karl Rove said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think we're going too fast here. I don't know why we're calling it for Ohio yet, and Romney would not concede. And at that exact same moment, just as we saw in 2004, the Ohio Secretary of State's website, the election night results website, went down.
Isn't that strange?
And that's exactly what happened back in 2004. And if you recall, when it came back up about an hour later, it came back up on the servers down in Tennessee owned by this far right-wing outfit that had run the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth websites and the George W. Bush email account and so forth. When that results came back up, lo and behold, George W. Bush was winning. John Kerry was winning before it went down.
Right.
So it was a pretty scary moment, actually, when that went down. And at the same time, then I started going around to the county websites, and Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, the largest county in Ohio, their elections results site was down. The rest of the site was up, by the way. The rest of the Secretary of State site was also up. It was only the reporting system that was inaccessible. And so, yeah, it did start to have the shades of 2004 at that point.
But that's why I think we're better magicians now. Because it was that sense of, we're grateful to all of our eccentric teammates like Anonymous, that said, "We're watching you, Karl Rove. We're monitoring all of your computers," which is why it was a redo of 2000, kind of the good way. And as you say, in 2004, we it could have, and we didn't. And that's why also, you know, even, you know, your Secretary of State Husted, you know, completely in the pocket. He came out, yeah, because it was Fox News called Ohio for Obama, and the commentators on Fox News refused, like, no, no. You know, it's like, you know, children going, put down the thing you were stealing. No, we won't. You know, what's that behind your hand? No, oh, it's only a voter fraud. Put it down. And Husted came out at that point and said, you know, screw it. I'm going to sleep. He knew it. He couldn't. Yeah, it was. You know, it was like, no, even this, it's not going to work. He knew Faust too, and yeah, and I like, you know, Romney basically coming on gracious at first, and then acknowledges his sidekick boy hero, and then gives thanks to the donors and the crooks and the criminal minds and the corporate dominator viruses and the Supreme Court and the treasonous voter suppression and the in-the-pocket Secretary of States and the dirty money and the corrupt politicians and the Rove giant ham, and apparently it wasn't enough.
And they should spend a whole hell of a lot of money and get just about nothing for it, didn't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
It didn't work this
time. And wait, who was the insane woman in Connecticut, the wrestling queen who got voted down?
Linda
also?
McMahon, she also lost.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, she spent, what was it, $10 million of her own money?
This time and the last time, too.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the amount of money that these guys will spend for absolutely nothing, and at the same time, they threaten all their workers that if they don't vote the right way, they're going to have to lay them off
from their minimum
it's
wage
so
job.
Expensive. I mean, that one jerk down in Florida who'd and I'm forgetting his name, CEO of some company who has built the largest house in the world. There's a documentary out about it. He sends a letter, you know, to his workers that he's going to have to lay them off if those tax rates go up at the end of the year. This is the jerk who has built the largest house on the planet. In the history of the planet, and you know, and he's threatening the workers that he's going to have to fire them because his taxes are going to go up.
But it didn't work.
And the denial,
Chrysler gave all of its workers a paid day off to vote.
Yay!
And the denial that these guys have been in—it's going to be interesting to watch what happens tomorrow because you know they have been lying to themselves on Fox News. Not just that Romney was going to win, but it was going to be a landslide. And that all of those polls you were hearing about, those were all skewed in favor of the Democrats. Remember, they even set up a website, unskewed.com, where they corrected the polls. And they showed us what was really going on. They attacked Nate Silver of 538 over at New York Times. And guess what? Nate Silver, we'll see what happens with Florida, because that's still not called. Ooh. But so far, Nate Silver called 49 out of 49 states exactly correct.
Wow.
He's a
Nate
saint.
Silver is now the king of the world.
he is a saint of reliable sanity. And there was also, I don't know if I can find it, but the only thing more reliable from him was there was the shaman report from Peru in which the shamans on ayahuasca did a divination and said, the gods of the mountain have deemed it's Obama. And I go, at last, a reliable poll, thank God. and then if we put Nate Silver on ayahuasca, that would be even more wonderful. But I go for, yeah, Nate Silver, absolutely, you know, just for, you know, for our Spock, really going, here's the thing. Very heartening. I'm looking for the adorable story of the shamans, here we are. It is ayahuasca drinking shamans in Peru give Obama the win.
Now we know.
And using maracas, coca leaves, yes, and a hallucinogenic brew, shamans in Peru got down to business Monday using pre-Columbian traditional ceremonies to pick a winner in the U.S. presidential race. The Apus, the gods of the hill in indigenous mythology, tell us that Obama will be reelected, predicted Juan Osco, known as the shaman of the Andes. And we go, thank you. That's good. I'm always for more news. So I go, Nate Silver and members of the group placed flower petals on photos of the candidates that were also swept over with tobacco smoke. The shamans chewed coca leaves. See, I want to see this on the news.
See, fishing class.
Like our newscast, a traditional ceremony on medicinal plants and Cinco Dimes, and the crew took some swigs of the ayahuasca, a psychoactive brew used widely, and at least one thing was clear, Obama defeats Romney on Tuesday. We go, that's great. We like that kind of news. We want many different kinds of storytelling.
Yeah.
I would like to give an ID.
That's a good story.
Okay, right.
This is KPFK Los Angeles. You are listening to Something's Happening, and we're having in-depth election coverage, the first part of the program, with Summer Reese, who is interim executive director of Pacifica, and Christine in studio, and Christine Blasdale in studio, senior producer.
Who's going bye-bye soon.
Who's going bye-bye soon. And on the phone, we have Brad Friedman of Brad Blog, the Brad Friedman, who's also has a program on KPFK Wednesday afternoons at 3, and he's at bradblog.com, and Caroline Casey, our visionary activist, who's at coyotenetworknews.com, and coyotenetworknews.com, and broadcast regularly on KPFA, and we rebroadcast her on Friday morning at 5 a.m. on KPFK Los Angeles.
Thanks.
Okay.
And I, too, by the way, am going to have to go bye-bye with Christine.
With me.
Together?
Oh, there's no big talk.
Are we exposing something here?
It's past our bedtime.
Oh, yes.
And they're not even in the same location,
no.
So it's going to have to be a metaphysical kind of spiritual going together.
The listeners will talk.
I will follow her anywhere.
But we'll be listening to the show because I have a long drive, so I promise I'll be listening. Caroline, it's been wonderful talking to you. I really like you.
A hoot. And the owls guide your path.
Thank you.
Where are you going, your long drive?
Up north.
Excellent.
Yes.
So the owls, I mean, that's part of what our team was doing in the tens of thousands, actually, because I was looking at the Mercury retrograde going, on the election chart. But its image, there's images for each degree of the zodiac, was an owl seeing in the dark. So every time I ran into an owl, I'm going, owl, be the election supervisor.
See in the dark.
Then,
yeah.
I'll let you guys go. But
Well, you could stay and talk with Summer and Roy.
Yeah, we're still going to be here.
They're still going to be there.
And Geneva in the background.
Yeah, Geneva in the background, right.
But I'll be listening.
Please do stay. If I don't go to sleep, I don't think I'll be up in time to do my show tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Okay,
well, thank you, Brad Blog,
thank you.
Brad Friedman, for staying up to talk with us and
good night,
give
Christine.
Us your insights. And actually, I'm very happy that you were not asked to be on every network and TV and radio station in the country in order to report how the election went so weird. So,
I am too, believe me, but we'll see what happens in the morning.
Okay, thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Roy. Good night, guys. Great talking to you.
Night.
And Brad can be found on bradblog.com and on Wednesday afternoon in KPFK Los Angeles. Caroline?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I hung up the right phone. And thank you, Christine Blasdale, for coming on. It's good to hear you without having to raise money.
Thank you. Just talking.
So,
nice, Christine.
She loves to do the radio, too.
Yeah.
I should add, by the way, coming up on the show, is we have, as part of one of the major premium of the last fund drive was this survival thing.
Oh, yeah, my mom wants one, right.
Okay, well, one part of that package was a CD by Gary Null, which he was going to produce, called What to Do When Disaster Strikes.
That seems timely.
A step-by-step guide for earthquakes, solar storms, floods, nuclear meltdowns, and other emergencies, which would never happen
that
in our country.
No.
Anyway, Gary finished the CD. It turned out to be 3 hours.
Wow.
And I have it.
Are you saying that's what's on tap after we get
tonight.
Done talking about the election?
I got 3 hours on what to do when disaster strikes.
Apropos of
the
recent history.
The world premiere. Apropos of... That was on the East Coast, though. Nothing happens on the West Coast.
That's get prepared, folks. Don't tempt anything, Roy. I'm trying to stay cool out here. We're still dealing with a hurricane in New York, okay?
Caroline, how did you fare in the Sandy?
Very, very lucky. Whoa.
Good.
Yeah, I got emails from all kinds of friends. Because at one point it was like, I think friends were saying, I think it's going right over your house. I'm like,
Dorothy.
But it is, in some form, customized form everywhere. Not like Staten Island and everything, but yeah. Everyone knows, you know, that quality of yes, preparing for survival is coming, and the poignancy and the neighborhood and the kinship that comes from that. I mean, walking around thinking, you know, that just that moment where on some level it's a frisson in everyone, looking around and going, everything we love might be gone, you know. And in a small or a large way, there's so much at stake. And,
yeah.
You know, going, oh, I felt like calling everyone, my former husband, going, I love you, really, I do. trees root, little crickets, little chipmunks, go find a home, you know.
Yeah.
Just that sense. So, yeah, but we were very, very lucky. And, again, commiserate with the enormity. But it was... it is part of the sky story. Again, it is, you know, Sandy Cassandra saying, you know, believe me now. And it assumed narrative control. The Earth assumed narrative control of the campaign, going, I have not been mentioned. And then everyone kind of got sober.
Yeah.
And, like, this is going
Ooh,
to
be
happening more everywhere.
I just remember very clearly some years ago you're talking about it was either a hurricane or a thunderstorm or something was approaching your house and you had a wolf dog and he was trying to get the hell out and run inland and you wouldn't let him out. And
no,
then
Stella Coyote.
And then when you were getting ready to pop in the car and take off, he thought it's too late and he's hiding under the bed and he didn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah. No, that's Stella Coyote who's still with me, and she is a part coyote person. And it was coyotes incredible barometric pressure ears,
mm-hmm.
like, and so it's true that even before the news report, she could feel the wafting of the warm air, and she was like, she was tugging on me, we've got to leave now.
Wow.
You know, I'm fast, but you humans are slow. And then when we did evacuate, she was like, you know, you've waited too long, our only hope is to listen to the survival tape and stay under the bed.
Hide under the bed. Yeah.
Sorry, say what?
I said hide under the bed, right?
Yeah, right. And with Gary Noel's survival tape. But we go yes, and then it is a nuanced thing. We do want to be prepared, but not, you know, folk. Well, we don't want to worship. Let's say that.
Well, I think being truly prepared lets you relax, right?
Yes. Yes, and that was also a poignant thing as the storm was barreling down. Me and my neighbors were like, oh, rats, you know, we're not any more prepared, really. We've got the water and the thing, but not really the backup generator or anything or the solar this or that. But there are ingenious parts of our team now going, we must now acknowledge this.
Mm-hmm.
We must redesign cities. And the crisis, the idea is of what's going down and collapsing the old structures of identity or banking or, you know, whatever, or governance, you know, but it liberates the energy, even in terrible cataclysm, to be reinvested in ingenuity. So now, you know, all of New York, you know, and really in high schools and everything, that they're going, we need ingenuity and designers, oh, everyone, to think about, you know, radically. Like, I mean, they were talking in New York also about floating cities and, you know, I mean, just going, all right, we don't have to do everything, but we have to think of everything. We have
mm-hmm.
to, you know, dream big and reward ingenuity and invite the ingenuity of everyone and, you know, a whole realm, again, of cultural renaissance, you know, especially, I think, turning to, you know, high school kids and inner city kids going, there's a problem in the neighborhood, you know, you design a solution, you get, you know, complete scholarship to college, you know, I mean, just more engagement and encouragement of, you know, and this is, you know, when I've been talking to conservative mixed, you know, groups of whatever, and there was one, these opportunities are just quirkily unfolding, you know, and major Republican kind of Coke people and whatever at this particular Halloween thing where I gave a talk on Saturday, and I said, all right, can we all agree that we'd like an honest election? And everyone was like, yes, except for a few people. I'm like, you in the back row, honest election? Oh, all right. Okay.
If we have to.
Can we all agree that we want to engage the ornery disobedience? See, what got siphoned off in the Tea Party is something we can speak to. Ornery, disobedient, wary, wanting to be off the grid. You know,
mm-hmm.
we go, yes, yes, we can, yes, you have that ornery, disobedient spirit, here's another place you can go. because we want that ornery, disobedient, you know, ingenious, invent spirit, you know, because we got stuff to do and we can't afford the superstitious, sociopathic, sacrifice of blood sport, of war, to distract, as a distraction from the huge thing we've imposed on the planet. I do want to say to all of our progressive and the Democratic team and everybody is that the overuse of the word fight. It's like, could we, now, because you can see, like, Obama and even Blessed Elizabeth Warren, I mean, they're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to fight. It was in hunger. And it's like, well, if you stopped using that word, you might have more chi. Because it's a hot word.
Yeah.
And I just want, you know, we are all concerned citizens for expanded vocabulary.
Thank you, Carolyn. Yeah, totally.
We're not going to fight global warming. That's a ridiculous concept. You know, it's fighting that got us into global warming.
Yeah.
We're going to engage the ingenuity of humans to have manners again and cooperate with the ingenuity of nature. Now, if we can shorten that into, you know, three words, that would be good. But but that's the...
What a concept.
Say what?
I said, what a concept, right? Yeah, okay.
Right.
Let us treat
and,
the place.
You know, and the fight, I'm going to fight for you, because you can see that every time people use that word, it sucks chi right out of their system.
Sure.
It was poignant to see... President Obama and Elizabeth Warren and good-hearted people at the end of this exhausting ordeal, barely able to go, and it was fun. It's like, man, what a crazy system we have. And exactly as Brad says, you know, I did a couple of shows with Marianne Williamson, bless her heart, out there, and you know, things we want to put on the table, which is absolutely the overturning of Citizens United. The corporate money out of politics, complete transparency, a constitutional amendment for that. It's like, let's go, public funding of elections, going, here, both of you get $10 million. That's it.
Well, you know, it's funny, as I've had a radical idea, and maybe it's because I'm in radio, but, you know, the airwaves belong to the public. It's-